Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Podcast. I am Ted Kluck, joined as always in studio by my good friends, my partners in radio, Barnabas Piper and Ronald J. Martin. Boys, it's been a week since I've done this. I was delinquent in my duties last week. I was away. You guys handled it without me. What did you boys talk about last week?
We really only did a Patreon episode, which we then we decided to release to the public because it was that rich and wonderful. We talked about the best writing advice we'd received, and then ended up rambling about books we enjoy and stuff like that. So, like 20 golden minutes of writing good. And books.
Oh, that's solid. That's just good work by you boys. And I was away, Piper. I was in Las Vegas, which we're going to get into. We're going to talk about Vegas. But first, let's talk about our sponsors. Let's pay some bills.
Yeah, let's do that. So let's lead off with our coffee partnership. That's Redbud City Coffee Roasters. Mm. So if you go to redbudcoffee.com, you can check them out. They're a small craft roastery in central Illinois, family-run business by a guy, and I think it's his uncle and his brother or something like that. It's a family thing. And they have rotating single-sourced roasts. My favorite is the Brazilian honey, so that's a standard of theirs. But the key thing to remember is that if you use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout, you get a 10% discount. If you like the coffee and you wanted to order it for a workplace or for your church or whatever, they do bulk roasting, so bigger bags. You can also just do the standard, like 12-ounce bags. But again, it's redbudcoffee.com. Use the code HAPPYRANT at checkout. You get a 10% discount. And actually, they donate a portion of all their proceeds to an organization that fights human trafficking. So they by buying coffee, you're actually contributing to that as well. So again, redbudcoffee.com. Use the code HAPPYRANT. Get your discount. Our second sponsor is Dwell Bible. It's an audio Bible app. If you go to dwellapp.io/happyrant, you can check them out. We've talked about them a bunch. You should be pretty familiar by now. But so let me use this to encourage those of you who haven't checked them out that it's really worth your time. It's worth your time and your money. Go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. They have discounts for our listeners. They have listening plans. They have listening lists to meet various needs, whether it's you need encouragement, you need God's promises, you need, you know, the sort of thematic different lists. They have all sorts of features to help you work it into your life in a way that makes the most sense for you, different Bible versions, et cetera. So go to dwellapp.io/happyrant. It's a 10% discount off of their annual subscription, or a 33% discount off their lifetime subscription, and they're constantly developing it. So it's not just a pay once and then you get what you pay for. They're constantly adding to it. So if you get the lifetime, there will be added benefits over time. So go check them out today as well.
Piper, outstanding promo work, as always. Thanks for that. So boys, I'm just back in town, just back in the saddle on the show, kind of knocking the rust off. And, I want to talk about Vegas with you guys because I have a lot of things to kind of unpack about it, but I want to start with the travel experience itself. And I want to tip the cap to our very own Ronnie Tarmac, because baby, I don't know how you do it. Commercial air travel. Well, let me frame it this way. Commercial air travel used to be kind of the money, right? People would kind of dress up for it, suit up for it.
Yeah, like 60 years ago, yes.
Treat it with respect. And now the airline that we flew, and I won't say their name because I'm way too classy, it's Spirit.
there's part of the ish, but go on.
The airline that we flew down, imagine the ethos of like a 1980s public school bus. Complete with like mean authority figures and like, you know, Billy Rusher, like flipping me in the ears from behind my seat. That was kind of the spirit of Spirit Airlines. It was miserable. But what they do offer is really cheap direct flights from Nashville to Las Vegas
and nothing else. The mega bus of the skies, if you will.
Oh, dude, it was brutal. It was so brutal.
And T is like, okay, so refresh, man. Is Spirit the one where like you get the $49 flight, but then after they charge you for bags, peanuts, how to, you know, that breathing air, using the bathroom two times, it bumps the ticket up to like $600.
Yeah, Allegiant does that as well. It's like, congratulations, you got a $28 flight. But if you bring anything bigger than your wallet, it's $300.
Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah, that's Spirit. That's Spirit in a nutshell. And even like
Spirit of Spirit.
The check-in process, and Spirit Airlines family, if you're listening, we apologize. But
not
even
really.
Even the check-in process, you know how like you used to go to the airport and you used to like check in with a person? Now it's all done via kiosk. And there's still people there. Like they're still paying people to be there, but they're just standing there and like watching you from behind like a wall.
Did you have the experience where they get remarkable. Exasperated at you for not being able to figure out their non-intuitive machines? Because I think that's totally what they do. Pay that, people that was, for. They basically pay people for being annoyed at you for doing their job.
Absolutely. And if you happen to fall asleep during the flight and your mask slips below your nose, they'll be happy to come around and smother you with a pillow until you're dead. And then you'll be no longer.
Does that count as a COVID-related death? Like, is that part of the statistics? I wonder what percentage of COVID-related
that gets coded. Yeah, statistically, that's
flight attendants.
Exactly. Statistically, that's a COVID death. But Las Vegas itself was actually wonderful and interesting. And we stayed at the Venetian. Shout out the Venetian, nicest hotel on the Strip. We were in the 38th floor. Had a beautiful window view of the mountains. Interesting thing about Vegas, boys, is that it's criminally like underreported in terms of the beautiful geography. That
oh, it's
get
amazing!
Out there.
Absolutely,
it is amazing. Yeah. Yeah, right in the middle of the desert, baby, ringed by mountains, mm-hmm. like beautiful mountains.
Well, yeah. Why would that ever get talked about? Right, because you're not really going out there to enjoy nature, you know?
Well, dude, so that's kind of my point. Like, if you were going out there to enjoy nature, it's a really good place to do that because you can get there and stay there, you know, relatively on the cheap, mm-hmm. and it's just a short ride out into nature. But, yeah, what was interesting about it was that if you wanted to make the argument that America is a nation of, like, substance-addled, slack-jawed, zombie idiots, you could for sure do that by walking like up and down the Strip. It's grim. However, there's like also really an insane amount of like capitalism and excellence, and like particularly in the food space, there's really interesting stuff going on there. And there's absolutely like no virtue signaling of any kind because like there's no virtue to signal, which made it oddly refreshing and relaxing.
What does that mean? Like, I think I'm so surrounded by virtue signaling living in a land of like artists and quote unquote creatives and storytellers I don't even know what an absence of it resembles.
Well, dude, here's what it looked like. It was fascinating. So walking like down the Strip to get a meal, it's some excellent restaurant. Like all the like celebrity chefs have all these little places all over, and it's a really great place to eat. But so you're walking down the Strip and you're in all this diversity, right? So there's people of every kind on the Strip. So it's the thing that we say that we value the most. And absolutely zero of them are interested in like dialogue or the issues or, you know, finger wagging of any kind. I mean, it's all like everybody's just there to have a good time. And I'm not defending it because by and large, it's godless and immoral and terrifying. But like, it was absent the kind of like, yeah, the kind of storyteller, I'm an artist, I'm finger wagging. Every Twitter post is a referendum on something. You know, you're missing that in Vegas, and it's really nice.
So is it basically like Disney in that way? Like it's just Disney is supposed to provide that for like the younger crowd, and then Jared C, and then Vegas provides it for all the grownups. It's just like this is a haven from the issues of the real world.
Yeah, I think so. I think on a lot of levels it is that. And again, there are aspects of it that I definitely thought were gross. And in fact, this was interesting to me and maybe to you guys as men of the cloth, like being around all that sin, like I never wanted to sin less. You know what I mean? Like I'm way more tempted to sin here, for example, than I was in Las Vegas. There was something about being around just all the unvarnished kind of grossness of the sin that really made me long for purity. Like our best moments were spent staring out the window at the at the mountains. And, you know, it was really nice. It was refreshing, and driving out into all that was super fun too. But, it was a really interesting mix of like some excellent stuff going on, some scary stuff going on, but like a total lack of virtue signaling because there's a total lack of virtue. I just thought it was fascinating.
Is Vegas the kind of place you can have a real vacation that doesn't, I mean, because obviously the way it's promoted is it's all shows and casinos. You know, that's Vegas in a nutshell, according to advertising, which makes me wonder if it's a little bit like the movie trailer where you get like the three funny lines or they completely misrepresent it. You're like, actually, that's a dramatic movie, not a comedy. And the trailer was really dumb. Is it the kind of place you can have a real fun vacation?
Dude, I think I think it's all a matter of like what you value when you travel though. So like for me, I'm a hotel room snob. Like I want a really fabulous room to come back to. And actually the Venetian kind of hooked us up because I was doing some writing down there. And they comped us a couple nights in this really gorgeous room. It was a suite, really great views, really comfy place to be. So for us, it's all about the room. It's all about eating. So we had mapped out like our meal, you know, plans in advance. And, you know, we had all these really fabulous meals and then just like pool time and chill time. And the pools at this hotel were really nice. And the thing that Vegas delivers, especially in the spring, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, it's going to be 81 degrees and sunny with no humidity. And I think after the like monsoon season that we've been in here in West Tennessee, we just wanted to get into a place where we knew it was going to be sunny and not raining. And it delivered that. It delivered some great food. You know, there was very little of the kind of casino lifestyle happening for us, but it was there if you wanted it. It was a good vacation. I'm not going to lie.
Just picturing your boys standing around a craps table yelling 7 come 11 and then cheering when somebody gets on a roll.
Well, dude, the funny thing is my boys love the Ocean's movies. So like they wanted to see the Bellagio and like all the spots where like the Ocean's movies happened. So they were kind of into that. And we played a lot of poker in the room. So we were kind of enjoying it without really enjoying it, if you know what I mean.
Did you hit any of the old school casinos, baby?
Baby, the old school ones are gross.
No, they are. No, I know.
They're super gross. Well, man.
They're not great, but I just thought after.
Yeah.
You know, this is your first trip to Vegas, right?
No, dude. I covered a fight there in the early 2000s. And this was kind of the backdrop of the whole thing. So I covered Oscar De La Hoya, Sugar Shane Mosley 2 there, like way That's back in the one. Day. And it was super fun. It was at the MGM Grands. It was crazy because it was a fight weekend and the city was super crowded. And I'm not going to lie, I low-key kind of hated Vegas then. So in the back of my mind, I'd always thought, like, I want to go back and I want to do it again the right way. And this trip just kind of came about spontaneously. KK was just like, get me out of here. So we just kind of threw everything together and booked and got some great deals because it's a buyer's market for travel right now. And we just kind of threw it together. But I think, you know, for us, we did it the right way. The boys really enjoyed it. It was fun just to travel and get away with them and have a good time together as a family. And it could have been anywhere, honestly. We could have gone to a lot of different places and had the same experience.
What was this writing you were doing that got you comped rooms? I'm trying to figure out how to get on that gravy train.
Yeah, they do that for writers in Vegas. I was just writing columns. Like, I decided I wanted to write a series of, you know, three columns or whatever about Vegas, about food, about, you know, traveling there with a family, whatever. And reached out to a couple of hotels and the Venetian, Palazzo. They hooked us up, man, and they were fabulous. They were amazing to work with. Lots of like super professionally affable people on site. You don't think of Vegas as a friendly place, but I think in the tourism space, especially at the nicer hotels, like people are super affable, super friendly.
Oh, dude, they just want, got some, they want you to be so happy.
Oh yeah.
I mean, they,
oh, they do. They want you to be so happy
forever.
And dude, the best food we had in Vegas was there at the Venetian. Like there were mad restaurants just like right in there, super close to home. So yeah, definite hat tip to the Venetian. They do it right there.
The Vinish, man. Yeah, nice.
The Vinish, baby. Yeah. Now, here's where I'm at, boys, and I'm not going to lie. I had this thought a couple of times. I just thought, what if I reached out to my PR contact there again and said, we need to bring the show there for like 3 days. Book us into a suite. We'll tape some apps. You know, maybe do a little meet and greet with some fans there in the Vegas area. I bet we could get that experience comped, boys. Daddy could get us the Rain Man suite. Oh,
that would be sweet. And I mean, it's a quick hop from Southern California. I don't know how many Vegas fans we have. We definitely have SoCal fans though. So, yeah. I'd say let's go for it.
That'd be good. Something to think about, boys. Mm. So let's get our calendars out at some point and think about when we might want to do that and get it booked.
Mm. Ronnie, you sound so
Vegas,
excited.
Baby, yeah. Vegas.
Would you?
Vegas, baby.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love Vegas, but, you know, Vegas is Vegas, you know?
Vegas is Vegas.
Did you ever play Vegas, Ronnie?
It would get you on an airplane.
Yeah, we did.
Like, what kind of venue?
You play casino, baby?
Well, I mean, that's the thing, boys. I mean, I'm not doing 10 sold-out nights at Caesars, you know? So it's like, it's...
You weren't, like, opening for Dean Martin.
Exactly.
And old Blue Eyes. Yeah.
yeah, it was more playing on the outskirts, you know, ministry things. And so my family, man, are Vegas fanatics. So, you know, if you live in SoCal, man, you know, Vegas is 3.5 hours. So, you know, you leave on a Friday afternoon and you spend a couple of days or you come back on Sunday night. So my family did that a lot growing up.
Interesting.
Yeah. So Vegas is like this. Vegas so is like the West Coast version of going to the lake in the Midwest. Totally, leave after work on Friday, come back on Sunday afternoon, a little bit sunburned, a little bit hungover.
Yeah. And a lot of bit broke.
Yeah.
Because it's Vegas. Yeah. And,
dude, so John would hit the casinos.
Yeah, John F, man.
Big dreams. I mean,
they would, F, sisters, brothers. It was like, let's just go check into a room for a couple of days, you know, which cost you a total of $41 and then, lose $4,000, you know, I'm exaggerating.
Yeah.
But, just kind of slowly hang out, you know, at the casinos.
Yeah.
It's, they kind of made it a very, like kind of stretched it out. So it was very like, you know, we're okay if we lose X number of dollars. They kind of viewed it as entertainment. And, but they love the atmosphere of that. You know, they love that environment. My family they're kind of big into things like that. So they just enjoy that vibe. And I just never connected with it. I didn't love it. So for me, it was just more about just being there, hanging out. I never really got too much into
it's no Midwestern, convention center, but,
It's not TGC.
You make the most.
Which I'll be at on Monday, boys. Just speaking of the old days coming back.
Wow, baby. That's exciting. Where's TGC this year?
Beautiful downtown Indianapolis.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, I mean,
and are they going to be at like, you know, 18% capacity in the convention halls there?
They're going to have a lot of casino tables set up for those who don't want to attend all the main seshes. And that's where I'll be.
Oh, wonderful.
You know.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now, who are you most looking forward to schmoozing with at TGC?
Oh, dude, here's what's weird, man. Like nobody's going. So you could choose to do it online or go in person. So we chose to go in person. Everybody we've talked to that we knew registered, they're like, we ended up just deciding to go online. So me and Big M are driving out, but man, just maybe a couple people here and there. Couple buddies here and there we're going to be connecting with, but I mean, dude, it's minimal. It's real minimal.
Who the bleep would want to do that online?
Dude,
like just listen to last year's.
I have no idea. And plus, like, here's the thing, it's all going to be available online, not live, like in a week. So,
right
to watch it like stupid. In the moment online, like there's literally no difference. And then if you just like,
yeah, like honey, week. Like kids, you know, come on, you got to get in here for the. The Don Carson plenary session. Yeah,
the perk is that it's one like church staff meeting. You don't have to plan. You're like, all right, guys, gather in the conference room. We're going to try to get this thing up on the Apple TV,
exactly.
And this will be our meeting.
Right, pipe. So yeah, churches will be doing that. They'll kind of be like doing a thing for it.
Dude, so who's main staging this year?
Dude.
Like who are the headliners?
I don't know, but I'm sure we could all guess with 100% accuracy. Right.
Well, they always bring in one or two guys you've never heard of. You know, so it'll be like the guys, you know, you got the Kellers and the Carsons, and I would imagine my dad will be there and whatever. I actually don't know if he's going to be there.
Yeah.
Actually, let me look right now while we're talking and we'll find out who the weird guy is.
Yeah. And then they always introduce one or two guys you haven't heard of at like, you know, the 10 a.m. Tuesday session or something.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, it's yeah. So here we go. Speakers. Guys, wait for it because this is shocking. Don Carson.
What? Okay.
Whoa.
Kevin DeYoung.
Wow.
Ligon Duncan.
No way. And
here's a guy they've never had before, which is actually really cool. A dude named Carl Ellis.
Carl Ellis is one of – has given one of the best conference talks I've ever heard. He's brilliant.
And they're actually – guys, wait for it. And baby, I want you to hold on to something while I say this next name.
Okay. Nancy Guthrie. Okay. Nance, dude. She's cool, yeah, actually. She
it's the fact that it's a woman and they're plenary. They're
wait, plenary check. Session. Are you sure that that's not just a glitch on the website? That's not TGC Women's you're looking at? Because that's about the right ratio. Six dudes and one woman speaking at TGC Women's.
And then there's Julius Kim, who's the prez. Melissa Kruger.
Dude, I want to run it back to Nancy Guthrie in a minute. I got a question to ask you. Because you guys know this stuff. Has she attained a level of fame equivalent to that of Jenny Wilkin? Remember like 7 or 8 years ago, it was all like if you were a reformed woman, well, it was Jenny Wilkin.
On the, she's speaking as well.
She's on there
but,
too.
But she's a lot,
dude.
I think
wow.
She's a lot older than Jen Wilkin. So I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
She's a few years older. And I'd say probably not, but also because Guthrie's kind of unaffiliated. So she's not attached, like Jen's attached to the Village Church. And so she helps lead their ministry. So like those affiliations really help in terms of being well known and being platformed. And Nancy's just been like writing and teaching Bible studies and Bible material for quite a while now in kind of smaller independent contexts.
So I would say,
dude, you want to hear,
go ahead, man.
You want to hear a little fame flex, for my wife with KK Ghost wrote a Bible study one time for Jenny Wilkin.
Wow.
So it's a little flex.
Yeah, that is a, that's
yeah,
not,
shout
that's
out
not
my wife.
Flex.
Shout out
that's
KK.
That's a big flex.
That's a huge
flex. That's the
flex
of
dude.
All flexes, man.
And listen, not a day goes by in our home where we don't reflect on that.
I mean, not a day goes by that after dinner you don't go through that Bible study.
Well, sure. I mean, you know, you've got something like that in your history, you know, it's just,
so,
it's important.
So here's
to reflect
the dude
on.
That's, yeah. I actually know this dude, but he's not super known. Here's the dude that they brought in for that. We were just talking about,
okay.
John Onwicheka as a plenary guy. So,
oh, that's exciting to see.
Yeah. Is he a rising superstar?
Yeah.
Baby?
He's kind of, well, yeah, he's rising. I don't know that I would say superstar. Who knows though, man, you know how that stuff goes. So yeah, it could be.
Dude, maybe a little book project for you. Know. Maybe a little collab with him.
Well, yeah.
Dude, Wolves has been all over our new idea.
The rising superstar thing is a lot harder to gauge now because there's not like the clear path to, you know, blog fame, mega church fame, whatever. Those things are a bit passe. And so I don't, what does it take to be the new A-lister?
You have to act like you don't want them.
Yeah.
While wanting them. Yeah. Yeah.
And then you got your dad. Your dad's going to be there. Platy, Wilkin, Newbull, Melissa Kruger. Just the, you know,
the old reliables.
The standard
standbys. So that's it. That's all. Yeah. That's all that's listed.
Dude, it's like Sinatra and Dino and Sammy Davis
like,
playing the flamenco for like the, you know, 31st
the old reformed Rat Pack.
Yeah.
That's right.
Dude,
somebody should do that as a poster.
Because, you know, it's 21.
Yeah.
You know, we got to
expand 21.
Our horizons a little bit.
Makes you long for the old days, baby, of the blogosphere when you could just nakedly want fame and chase it unabashedly, you know.
Yeah, I miss clickbait.
Those were the days, weren't they? Absolutely. Gosh, guys, it's just simpler times. But speaking of the convoluted, fraught with difficulty times that we're in, I don't know if you guys heard for a day and a half, there was a controversy about some Satan Nikes. Somebody made Nikes. Put a little bit of human blood in them, called them Satan shoes, sold them for like $1,200 a pop, and everybody was really, really mad about it for 20 minutes. Or they weren't really, really mad because they were trying to show how cool they were and how not a big deal it was. Where were you guys at in the Satan Nikes? Really mad or trying to show how cool you were?
I don't even know what, man. Do you? I totally, that one kind of passed me by because it just wasn't interesting to me. So what was
it? So I had a really interesting interaction online about it because I was more in the, like, I'm the third party just observing who's actually mad, who's mad at the people who are mad or kind of the disaffected and just kind of trying to figure this out. So apparently Lil Nas X put his name on these, came out with some sort of a, like, he has some sort of a Satan worship song that all the kids are into these days, and that's what people are upset about. So I put something on Twitter, and I said something like, I've seen 1,000 more people mad about those who are mad than I have actually people who are mad at the shoes. And I had 2 or 3 people come back, you know, kind of level-headed people, and they say, oh, you're in the wrong circles. They're like, you need to go be more adjacent to, like, the more charismatic circles, because those people are heated. And then a couple other people were like, yeah, that's because you're on Twitter, not on Facebook, which makes total sense because Facebook is where everybody loses their mind. So I think there actually were people who freaked out about this in the same way that you remember, like, the Starbucks red cup from a couple Christmases ago. That might have been 8 years ago at this point. I don't know. Those kinds of things. But yeah, my favorite was that people were so heated about it. And this was last week. This was 1 week ago. And at this point, we're 15 news cycles past it and nobody cares, which I think is the most humorous part of everybody's anger, because it just, man,
what? Like, why would evangelicalism, like, why would it, like, what was anybody mad about? Like, why would you be mad? That's what's not registering with me. Where's the anger coming from? Like, why be angry? Like, who, like, why is it a thing to be? Like, why, if you're in our tribe or whatever, like, why was that something to be mad about? I don't understand.
Let's say, because I don't know how many people in our tribe were mad about it. Like, TGC didn't put up a 9 reasons not to buy Satan Nikes or something.
Joey, he just missed his off. Didn't
yeah,
he?
I didn't see DeYoung write 18,000 words wherefore-ing and therefore-ing his way through the shoes.
Who would you most love to read on the issue of Satan Nikes?
Francis Chan.
And it's multiple choice. A is Francis Chaney. B is Joe, the guy we always reference. Carter, I don't remember his last name. Doesn't matter. Joe Carter, Joe C. C, Kevin DeYoung. D, Brett McCracken on Satan Nikes. Who are we most wanting to read?
Why don't we give a brief, like, what we think they would write, just in, you know, sort of like the tone and the brief summary. So, Chan is a little bit hard because I feel like he would just repeat why over and over again. Like, why? Why are we even doing this? Why? Like, this is a serious thing. Why? There we go. We needed Ronnie's impression. I was trying to tee that one up.
Solid. Well,
Chan would just say he doesn't know because he doesn't know. Chan doesn't know, guys. Frankie doesn't know.
I don't know, the Satan Nike story. That would be the title.
Who was next? Let's see. It was Joe Carter. Joe Carter is going to do a 9 things you need to know about. And he's going to, like, do a deep dive with 17 hyperlinks on, like, where this
it's
where
informative.
This blood came from.
Here's how they got the blood in
Carter
the shoes.
Carter would be the most expected to do it.
And it would be legitimately informative about a bunch of stuff you didn't think you needed to know and probably didn't need to know.
Here's a little bio on Lil Nas X.
9 little facts. You
know, yeah.
About Satan Nikes.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think he would be playful like that?
No.
He wouldn't capitalize on the Lil, would he? He wouldn't be playful.
No, he probably would have one of his 9 facts about the etymology of Lil versus Little. And that's how we got
that's true.
Let's see. And then it was DeYoung.
What about DeYoung?
DeYoung would do deep dive on Satanology. Like, what is...
That's true.
You know, who is the devil really, and why should we take this seriously? You know, we don't play with the devil. Mm-hmm. And then
McCracken would do 22 pages on the actual aesthetic.
It would be
the
aesthetic, but how that weaves into, like, the cultural expression of spiritualism and, like, a cultural move toward openness to all spirits and even evil ones. But also kind of the creative beauty of these shoes and how they reflect, you know, God's fingerprints on humanity and stuff like that.
I mean, if I was forced to read one, my choice, I would probably go with McCrack. I'd probably just lean into that one. Like if you guys all had to read one, which one would you read?
Man, that's tough. Definitely not Chani for me.
No.
No disrespect to Chani if you're listening. I would probably, here's the thing. I would probably read DeYoung because like one of the things, well, yeah, one of the things I miss, baby, is like how when we were growing up, it was like a big puzzle to like ascertain which songs were satanic. Mm. Like that was a really fun 80s thing that I miss us doing. And I feel like DeYoung's piece would get closest to that.
Yeah, like if you wear these shoes backwards, it's a portal to the gate of hell or something. Yeah, one of those.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Backwards shoelacing. Yeah, wear them on the the wrong feet, and all of a sudden you're a Wicca witch or something. Right. I think I would read Carter just because I would want to know what like are there nine facts about this thing? Like what do we need to know? I'm curious what I need to know.
I love how our personality types, I mean, just go directly to the particular writer that like feeds into that best. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, to be clear, I wouldn't read any of them. No. This was a gun to the head thing. And so if my life is being threatened,
that's true.
But you still go facts.
Yes.
Right? That's my point.
100%.
Would you listen to a TGC talk online from them about this?
Gosh. I think you could have stopped after online and the answer would have been the same. Just no.
Oh, exactly.
No, I'm not going
to. Dude, the idea of anybody like settling in front of their computer and being excited to watch something now is just anathema to me. I can't believe that's still a thing.
Yeah, I didn't love that before COVID.
God bless these people.
Exactly.
And right. Now we've just like, yes, we've all gotten used to it as a norm, but literally everybody hates it every day.
It still
day.
Sucks. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Well, interesting stuff, boys. Talked a little Satan shoes, talked a little Vegas. Good to be back in the saddle. Good to be back in the studio doing radio with you guys. And I think what I'm going to do is close out this ep so that we can hop back into the stew and do some Patreon work. So, boys, we've done what we always do in this program, in that we've wandered to and fro throughout two topics. And until next time.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Are you concerned about tensions in the Middle East? Do you wonder where we're currently at in the biblical timeline? Are we really in the last days? Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Carl Muller with the Inside the Epicenter podcast. Every week, my co-host, best-selling author Joel Rosenberg, and I answer those questions and more. You'll hear inside knowledge of our meetings with leaders at the highest levels of government in the U.S., Israel, and the Middle East, equipping you to filter the news with biblically sound insights. Find Inside the Epicenter on your favorite podcast app or go to joshuafund.com to listen and subscribe.